baseball. All-Star game tonight, home run derby last night, and we're joined in the G&M Family Market phone line by Jay Jaffe of Sports Illustrated. Jay, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
I have to ask you a little question here. I'm not real smart, but I was piecing together things from Twitter, and I saw the two words that jumped out at me, baby prep. Is there some exciting news?
That is correct. My wife is pregnant. We are expecting our first child, a girl, on August 15th.
Wow.
Very excited, obviously. A little concerned as to how this is going to throw a wrench into Sports Illustrated's baseball coverage, since we're both there. But on the whole, just mostly very excited.
That is awesome news. Well, congratulations to both you and Emma. That's great.
Thank you.
Let's talk about last night. You were tweeting during the home run derby, and certainly a heck of an effort by Stanton and everybody involved. You liked the format a lot. Do you think it was maybe the best home run derby ever?
I think so. I mean, I think when you look at the fact that, you know, Major League Baseball stumbled into this format last year out of weather concerns. They had planned to use a 5-minute round and a more complicated bonus structure that I think would have confused even an IRS accountant. And then they simplified that greatly with the efforts to get it in, and they kept that this year, and that worked really well. And I think, you know, with having Stanton in there, you know, he'd been in one other derby, I think in 2014, and he had kind of underwhelmed. Having a marquee slugger, you know, perhaps, you know, obviously the distance king in the game, win a home run derby, I think is what baseball has been waiting for with this event. Not to take anything away from Todd Frazier or Yoenis Cespedes, the last two winners, both excellent players who really have great power, but, you know, to have a Stanton, a guy who's maybe a top five player in MLB at his best, and certainly, you know, when it comes to, you know, a player who's synonymous with big home runs, winning the Derby, I think this was an ideal result for them, and I think they're big winners for sticking with a format that has made the event a lot more watchable.
And it was even enough to overcome those uniforms.
Yeah, those uniforms are something. I mean, I love a good Padres throwback, but the lettering on the caps was just awful and way too forced. I don't know. It just seemed just a little bit much. But the brown and yellow, I you know, as somebody who has some nostalgia for those terrible Padres uniforms of the 70s and 80s, I got a kick out of that.
Yeah, I was hoping to see Nate Colbert out there somewhere.
Yeah, everybody wanted to see Nate Colbert. I know that was a name that was tossed around on Twitter. Certainly, maybe seeing Dave Winfield in some old brown and yellow jersey would have been great, too.
Well, the game tonight, an interesting matchup of starting pitchers with Sale and Cueto. It's tough to get a read on this game because it means something, or maybe it doesn't, depending on who you talk to. But it is a great showcase. And while maybe it doesn't have quite the allure that it did in the days before interleague play, for my money, it's still head and shoulders above all the other attempts at All-Star games.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's an inherent contradiction with the All-Star game, since they tried to attach home field, or since they did attach home field advantage in the World Series to it, because, you know, everything else about the event suggests that it's an exhibition, particularly with pitchers bowing out because of injury concerns and workload concerns. They're obviously much more valuable to their teams down the stretch than they are for throwing one inning under these these circumstances here, you know, and I think there are things that MLB ought to think about that they probably won't. But, you know, getting all of this talent, particularly at a time when you've got so much young talent in the game, an AL lineup that's 26 and under, save for David Ortiz, who's on a victory lap of unprecedented proportions right now, having Bryce Harper and Mike Trout in on the same field. We're not going to get some of the pitching, you know, some of the pitcher hitter matchups that we would have liked, like such as Kershaw versus Trout, or something like that. But it's still a really cool spectacle and a lot of fun, even if there are some things about the game that we wish we could change.
Well, and I just hope there's some way we get to see Bartolo Colon in the game, and if my real Christmas wish came true early, he'd get to an appearance at the plate. Would be fantastic.
Yeah, that would be pretty funny. Unfortunately, I think the likelihood of that happening is pretty slim given the DH rule being in effect. It's funny, I wrote a piece for SI.com earlier today. I look back at the 1992 All-Star Game, which was the last one played in San Diego. And in addition to being sort of historically fascinating for the fact that MLB was on the precipice of change, the game ended. It was a lopsided affair. It ended with Norm Charlton being struck out by Dennis Eckersley.
And that's what you want to see in your All-Star game right there.
Oh, and it also had Chuck Nagy, the only pitcher to collect a hit in the All-Star game in the DH era, figured in a big rally.
Wow. That's on SI.com. Make sure you check that out. We're talking to Jay Jaffe here on the program. You mentioned Clayton Kershaw, the injury derailing what right now is shaping up, if he can keep it up when he comes back, to be one of the great seasons in baseball history, statistically speaking.
Yeah, there's a lot of concern right now about how long Kershaw is going to be out. Initial reports were that he could be out a month. He is apparently throwing today at Petco Park as he observes the festivities, and apparently has a return date in mind that he hasn't let slip. To me, that suggests that this is closer to happening than not, and that there is some optimism that he's not going to have to go through a very long cycle of building up, 15 pitches at a time to get back onto the field. The Dodgers certainly need him. They have a sub-500 record without him this year.
What's been the most interesting story to you in the first half of the baseball season?
Oh, geez. For a while it was certainly the Cubs chasing the 2001 Mariners pace. I think that one, that one's fallen off. And I'm not sure I have another story that's that big that's filled the gap in my mind. I mean, there's just the ongoing theme of there just being so much great young talent in the game, though, is what I'm focused on. Rather than a single narrative. I mean, just seeing that what's going on in Boston with Xander Bogaerts and Jackie Bradley and Mookie Betts, for example, or obviously Trout and Harper. Harper's having a little bit of a struggle, but I expect him to turn it around. First full seasons for Carlos Correa and Francisco Lindor. Some great rookies in the Cubs or young players in the Cubs, including Chris Bryant and Addison Russell making the All-Star team. Corey Seager making the All-Star team as a rookie. There's a wealth of young talent, and it's just such a great thing to watch. And we're lucky that we can, with our MLB TV packages, we can watch any game we want and see these guys every night.
Some great starts for a lot of players, and I was reading an article the other day, and I can't remember who wrote it, but it was sort of talking about second-half statistics and how perhaps they're not reliable. I've always found them to be pretty good predictors. What's your take on that?
On second half statistics being reliable, years and years and years ago, I posed that question to Nate Silver, who's obviously gone on to bigger things. This was back when we were both at Baseball Prospectus. I think he said something like, if you were weighting it, you might weight second half statistics 55% versus first half statistics 45% if you wanted some small gain in predictive value. I think it's very easy to overthink that. I think especially when you look at September stats, there's a real risk because, there are teams that are out of it. They've been gutted by sell-offs. You've got minor league call-ups in there. You've got some teams playing with rosters that could be as many as 40 men. So you risk a little bit of distortion there. I think paring it down to too small a sample size, there's probably more harm you can do to your predictive value than good.
Jay, we always have to get a good beer recommendation from you. What's something we ought to try this summer?
Oh, boy. Let me think about that for a second here. There is some great stuff coming out of a local brewery here called Threes, where they've just gone to canning every few weeks, and their next batch coming up is called something called Unreliable Narrator. They've got great titles for their beers. There's another one I can't even say on the air, but the initials are SFW. Some really great stuff. And instead of having to get up on a Saturday morning and stand in line like another one of our great local breweries, this one is you buy it online and you go pick it up on one of the given days. And this Unreliable Narrator, just a great IPA. Hope it makes its way up there at some point. Not that you guys lack for great IPAs up there and great beer in general, but wonderfully fruity, kind of that, I guess, what's being called the New England style of IPA, these sort of fruity, hazy, tropical juice bombs. Really good stuff.
I like the sound of that. Hey, we're asking guests if you've got a song, a summer song that's your favorite that maybe takes you back to your youth, one of those songs that makes you turn up the radio when you hear it this time of year.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. That's, talk about catching me on the spot here. Oh, I'm not even sure I could come up with one on demand. I'm going to have to take a whiff on that one here.
All right.
Especially because I don't listen to the radio very much these days, even when I'm on it.
you've got nursery rhymes in your head anyway.
Yeah, that's true, and all kinds of things to look forward to explaining to my kid, all the intricacies of the universe. And the mysteries that I haven't even solved myself, let alone can break down to a small child.
Well, it's an awesome time. Good luck here in this home stretch. But give our congratulations to Emma. And as always, thanks for checking in with us, Jay. Enjoy the game
tonight.
All right,
we'll do, Rich. Thanks a lot.
That's JJ.